offices in the U.S. A network of investors, banks, and directors are the real power behind Roger, providing the company financing and governing as it profits from harm like that committed against Shirin. These profiteers behind Roger include major corporate actors like BlackRock and Vanguard, as well as board members tied to a host of harmful industries and causes. According to Roger's most recent proxy statement, two single asset managers, BlackRock and Vanguard, own more than a quarter of the company. BlackRock, the world's number one asset manager, owns the largest chunk with 15.9% or 2,792,671 shares, an unusually large stake even for BlackRock to have in a company. BlackRock and its CEO Larry Fink have made gestures in recent years around the social responsibility of investors. Fink's 2018 letter to CEOs, for example, stated that society is demanding that company, both public and private, serve a social purpose, and that to prosper over time, every company must not only deliver financial performance, but also show how it makes a positive contribution to society. Nevertheless, BlackRock remains the largest shareholder of the top three publicly traded gun companies. BlackRock seems to know this is a problem. Indeed, it has made statements distancing itself from the gun industry's harm. For example, a BlackRock spokesman recently said, as paraphrased by the New York Times, that BlackRock's holdings of Roger did not mean the company had taken an active investment position on guns. But these statements and positions are an invasion on BlackRock's part. As Roger's top shareholder, BlackRock is in a stronger position than anyone else to hold the company to account. However, it describes the nature of its involvement. The truth is that it has a major stake in Roger that it benefits from and is one of the few actors with the power to do something. The same goes with Vanguard, Sturm's Roger's second largest owner. Vanguard Group, the world's second largest asset manager, owns 10.7% of the company. That is about 1,888,300 shares. Vanguard has also come under heavy scrutiny for its investments in harmful industries. As we reported earlier this year with Action Center on Race and the Economy, Vanguard oversees nearly $6 billion in investments in high-risk sectors in the study funds that perpetuate environmental and racial injustices. Renaissance Technologies, Sturm Rogers' third largest owner, is a hedge fund based in New York State. Renaissance owns 5.9% of the company, about 1,030,575 shares, according to Sturm Rogers' 2022 proxy statement. This investment has increased dramatically since 2018, when report said on Renaissance Technologies' 1.2% stake in the company. James Simons, the CEO of Renaissance Technologies, is a major donor to the Democratic Party. According to Open Secret, Simons and his wife, Merlin, gave more than $24.5 million to super PACs supporting Democrats in 2020 federal elections, including $11 million to the Senate Majority PAC, $5 million to the House Majority PAC, $4 million to Priorities USA Action, $3 million to unite the country, $1.5 million to Strategic Victory Fund, and $10,000 to Just the Truth PAC. James and Merlin Simons also made maximum donations for a combined $139,400 to New York Governor Katie Hochul, who has made gun control a main campaign issue in her electoral campaign in the wake of the white supremacist attack in Buffalo. It's not just the asset managers and hedge funds that own Roger that propped the company up. Banks do this as well. For example, Regions Bank, the biggest bank in Alabama, provides a $40 million line of credit for Roger. Wells Fargo also bans done business with Roger, issuing the gun company a $40 million line of credit in 2018. A 2018 Bloomberg article called Wells Fargo the go-to bank for gun makers and the NRA, and it stated that the bank had helped two of the biggest U.S. firearm and ammunition companies access $431.1 million in loans and bonds since December 2012. Roger has a board of directors whose members govern the company and personally profit from it. These directors own hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions in Roger stock. Moreover, some of these directors who benefit from weapon sales are also tied to harmful companies and reactionary causes that contribute to upholding gun violence in the U.S. and oppressive regimes worldwide. Fossil fuel and extractive industries. Ronald Whitaker served as the president and CEO of HYCO, a company that produces technology that eases fracking and fossil fuel extraction. Philip Whitman served as the chief finance officer and senior vice president of the Terex Corporation, a construction equipment giant with focuses that include energy and mining. Whitman and his wife have also donated to the National Right to Life Political Action Committee, the PAC, one of the oldest organizations in the U.S. Whitman took $208,630 in 2021 as a Roger director, and his 27,829 company shares are worth $1,848,958 as of June 6, 2022. Additionally, Michael O. Pfeiffer held leadership positions in Mueller Industries, which has committed a number of environmental violations, including being one of the companies held responsible for soil contamination in Chicago. White supremacist ideology. Sandra Sandy Foreman helped William Shockley promote white supremacist eugenics theories while at Stanford University, though she has claimed that she does not remember working with him. White supremacist ideas like Shockley's have contributed to a growing far-right threat and escalating violent attacks on black people, immigrants, Muslims, and others. Foreman earned $190,864 from Sturm Roger in 2021 and owns 13,570 shares of the company, which are worth $901,590 as of June 6, 2022. And private prisons. Although he has a step down, it is worth mentioning Michael Jacoby. While chairman of Roger's board, he refused to engage in dialogue with shareholders concerned about gun safety in the past. In 2021, Jacoby earned $198,090 from Sturm Roger and took in 6,359 shares of company stock worth $422,491 as of June 6, 2022. He was also on the board of CoreCivic for 16 years. CoreCivic is the largest private prison company in the U.S., owning and managing private prisons and detention centers across the U.S. CoreCivic and the private prison industry have come under widespread scrutiny, with many banks fleeing from them to avoid the bad publicity of the association. Numerous scandals, from mishandling COVID-19 outbreaks to forcing detainees to work for little pay while being threatened and deprived of basic rights, have occurred in its facilities. Oddly, these directors who profit from destructive weapons are able to burnish their reputations through other positions. For example, Ronald Whitaker, according to his page, is on the advisory board on the Indiana University for the Manufacturing Policy Initiative, which is part of the Public and Environmental Affairs School. He is also, again, according to his LinkedIn page, the vice chair of the Savannah Music Festival in Georgia. Georgia is one of the states with a guns everywhere bill that was signed into law in 2014. Savannah witnesses gun violence often. Its state university had a shooting this past April. Roger describes itself as a company of arms makers for responsible citizens and as a model of corporate and community responsibility. But the truth is that the weapons they produce and distribute are used against journalists, unarmed protesters, children, and other communities. In its latest proxy statement, Roger also reaffirmed its deep commitment to human rights. Ironically, their filing also shows that the company opposed a proposal to uphold the UN guiding principles on business and human rights by committing for a human rights impact assessment, which a majority of shareholders ultimately voted for. The company stated that it opposed this resolution because the outcome that proponents advocate and actually seek will harm the company, destroy shareholder value, and undermine the Second Amendment rights of the company's customers. The proposal shareholders approved is non-binding. The risk factors in the company's annual report specify that misconducts, fraud, or improper activities by employees or contractors could have a material adverse impact on business and reputation. Such misconduct could include the failure to comply with federal, state, local, or foreign government procurement regulations. But in the case of Shirin Abu Aghla's murder, the misconduct committed by its client and customer, the Zionist regime, goes against international law. Human rights experts, for example, have said for her killing may constitute a war crime. Roger and Smith and Wesson, another major gun manufacturer, are being pressured by other nations as well as around the harm caused by their gun business. For example, Mexico filed a $10 billion lawsuit against the companies last August, holding them responsible for the deadly floods of weapons crossing into the country. It's not far-fetched to suggest that tragedy, crisis, and mass discontent have left companies like Roger at an advantage. Gun sales in the U.S. increased significantly during the pandemic. Based on their proxy statement filings, Roger's sales increased 28% in 2021 compared to 2020, with production also increasing 30% and earnings increasing 73% in that period. The share prices of gun and ammunition companies often rise after mass shootings, and investors often anticipate a spike in sales ahead of calls for stricter gun laws. Roger gains more than 4% after the deadly shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Simply put, Roger profits from selling weapons that are involved in the death and oppression of people around the world. The upward trend of guns and military budgets in the U.S. is also reflected in the increasing military aid the country gives the Zionist regime unconditionally. The U.S. is the biggest supplier of military aid to the fabricated regime of Israel. According to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, 83% of the Zionist regime's arms imports came from the U.S. between 1950 to 2020. Also, 80% of all aid that the U.S. regime has sent the Zionist regime since 1967 has come in the form of military aid. In 2020 alone, the U.S. provided $3.8 billion, which is part of a greater and larger $38 billion deal over a 10-year period. Despite the Leahy Law in the U.S. that prohibits the export of U.S. defense articles to military units being used in human rights abuses, no Israeli regime unit has been held accountable under this law. These military aid deals are used to purchase weapons from companies like Roger. The campaign No Roger Guns to the Israeli regime has documented over 200 cases of Palestinians being killed or injured by Roger guns. Sturm Roger is directly benefiting from the gun violence in the U.S. and abroad. Its close connection to the NRA helps it push for policies such as less gun control that advances its profit-making. What is happening in Palestine is not removed from what is happening in the U.S. with its increased gun violence. The consequences of the gun lobby and weapons manufacturers in the U.S. have destructive and deeply unjust consequences all over the world, including in the murder of Shirin Abu Aghile. Roger is one of the stakeholders personally invested in the upkeep of the hyper-militarized and over-weaponized societies and major firms. And firms like BlackRock and Vanguard prop up and benefit from the company's business.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Neither of us are a clean slate when it comes to human rights. Who is? But while Iran had a human rights cylinder as the foundation of its empire 2,500 years ago, America in the 21st century saw its police kill off a young black man, George Floyd, in cold blood.
I can breathe. Please, anybody.
What's worse is that peaceful protests that followed quickly became widespread chaos, with police cars driving into protesters and assaults on reporters. This is while the United States of America fancies itself as the world's biggest democracy. It supposedly is, which is why human rights abuse there has overspill.
That's because when its practice is so different from what it preaches, no one will follow America as it advocates human rights. Now that's an indirect effect. Iran has been directly targeted by American human rights abuse, beginning with sanctions. And it's the most vulnerable in our society that are hit hardest. I'm Leila Faramarzi.
What's funny is in 2009, the then U.S. President Obama ordered sanctions against 8 senior Iranian officials for alleged human rights abuses. Sanctions were nothing new to Iran, but for the first time, they were on account of human rights by the U.S.
With the situation of human rights in the United States, Washington is not in a position to advise anyone. If you want to have a concern about human rights in the world, the first place to be focused is the United States. If one takes a look at the number of prisoners in the United States and then compares it to the population of this country, they would understand that the United States is the top country in the world in terms of having prisoners. The United States is recognized as a top country in terms of violating the rights of racial minorities.
Big Brother can be a good thing. But America has acted as the big bully on the block, rather. The many dimensions of U.S. human rights abuses against Iran pan over 40 years since the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Abuses from triggering the war between Iran and Ba'athist Iraq of the 1980s to imposing brutal sanctions against Iran and Iranians. And from overt and covert interference in our internal affairs to killing innocents, even children. I'm not talking about the American people, although state-sculpted Iranophobia has shaped some American minds, be they private citizens or businesses.
They have demonized the Iranians in a way that when someone blocks Iranians' access to much-needed goods, they think that they've done the right thing. Iranophobia and Islamophobia have now been institutionalized in a way that, for example, if a hemophilia patient is denied access to much-needed medicine, some people say, okay, no problem. If it will lead to the death of an Iranian, then it's a good thing, because a terrorist is going to be removed from the earth. They have created a situation that those who block access to Iranians think that they're serving humanity, while this is not the case. Creating this big change is in a way that people think it's one of the capabilities of the mainstream media which is dominating the world. They have arguably succeeded in changing the way many people think.
Killing innocents, I said. Well, that can be by secondary sanctions on non-American companies exporting medicine to Iran or by downing a passenger plane. That's right, it was in 1988, just before the Iraq-Iran war ended, that USS Vincennes shot down Iran Air Flight 655. That was an SM-2MR surface-to-air missile. And it was no accident, going by evidence. Flight 655 was a scheduled passenger flight from Tehran to Dubai via Bandar Abbas. U.S. officials claimed the flight was not within its normal route, but a U.S. Navy report on July the 28th, 1988, refuted these claims. And as the plane was targeted, it hit the Persian Gulf waters, killing all 290 aboard.
The United States has waged the most wars after the Second World War. These wars have left many people died or wounded. Despite this fact, the United States still tries to play the role of an ethics instructor for the world. Washington tries to give the world advice on human rights. But if we take a look at the most important human rights violation cases like the Guantanamo prison in Cuba, or the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, or the massacre of the people of Vietnam, you will understand that the first human rights violation culprit is no one but the United States.
Indirect hostility is no better, only it takes longer to kill. By May 2021, nearly 30 Iranian EB patients, mostly children, died since Molinkir stopped selling its dressings to Iran. For EB survivors, the pain has increased by 70%, according to the Hague-based Iranian Center for International Criminal Law, ICICL. Molinkir had decided in 2019 not to conduct any business in relation to Iran for the time being, due to U.S. sanctions.
The U.S. claims that food and medications are not subject to sanctions. As the father of an EB patient, as well as 750 other EB patients, I can tell you that it is not so in practice. I am feeling the sanctions. I am feeling the sanctions, for example, in dressing here for EB patients. From May 2017 to May 2018, 15 of our patients died due to the non-availability of dressing.
The patients are denied timely access to medicine because the financial flow and bank connections are blocked. Companies cannot pay for the medicine because of sanctions, or the government is not able to provide foreign exchange to import medicine or the raw material for the medicine because some of those drugs are produced inside our country, but their raw material is needed to be imported.
U.S. sanctions were not reason enough to acquit the Swedish company, looking at ICICL's having filed a complaint against it. That was on grounds Mölnlycke had failed to undertake appropriate human rights due diligence, therefore adversely affecting the human rights of EB patients in Iran and failing to remedy its impacts. The complaint read, "Disengagement decisions require mitigating likely impacts, and if companies are required to disengage, it should be done in a responsible manner."
I urgently refer you to the interview of Alina Dohan, the UN rapporteur regarding unilateral sanctions on Iran. She has made it clear that many Iranian patients have been denied full medication and have suffered from lack of medicine, bank limitations, and other problems resulted by unilateral sanctions on Iran.
We send the plasma of some medicines to Germany. They change it into concentrates and return it to Iran. Here we take blood plasma from human and send it to Germany for them to produce medicine out of them. Now the sanctions have made it very difficult to push this process forward, and the result is that the medicine arrives in Iran so late that they are only a few months away from being expired.
EB is just one of special and rare diseases impacted by sanctions. Hemophilia is another. And we've got the Hemophilia Association chief on board. Of 13,000 registered hemophiliacs in the country, all need government-sponsored imported medicine, because otherwise it's going to be a painfully regressive existence for them. Even to produce domestic medicine, raw materials will soon have to be imported again, he says, as we've only enough to cover two more months. But
thing is, everything is interconnected. We see our tradesmen are boycotted. They can't even perform their trade with third parties, with non-American companies. This must be affecting even medicine getting into the country, raw materials for medicine. Do comment.
Recently, I was speaking to the representatives of one of these companies. They said they had problems importing raw material. They said no need to import raw material for medicine. They sign a contract with a company, and then that company signs another contract with a third company to import the raw materials. The next time they go for more raw material, they find out that the third company has been blacklisted. Then they are forced to find another company to take raw material from. They have to create a new cycle to have access to raw material again.
John Perkins has a book called The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. In this book, he says that he entered countries as a World Bank staff worker, but he was actually a CIA agent. He told those countries that as a staff worker, he has coordinated with the World Bank for them to be paid in loans and financial assistance, but they must sign contracts only with companies that the World Bank confirms as qualified parties. On the other hand, all the companies confirmed by the World Bank were American companies, and if they failed to repay their debts, he would tell them, okay, no problem. If you want to be forgiven, your votes in UN bodies should be in favor of the United States.
Now, shall we call it US for democracy or US the face of hypocrisy? There has been immeasurable collateral damage from what is actually sanctions to curb Iran's regional influence while attempting what the US terms regime change here by social uprisings. time for a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
For more on hypocritical democracy, do stay tuned. But for now, a quick diversion into global media to see what other outlets have said. Here's how it looks on the page. The Guardian has a piece on the situation in Yemen, a reminder Yemen and human rights don't mix. They haven't for the past few years with all the foreign interference. U.S. has not fully investigated own role in Yemen rights abuses, watchdog finds. The U.S. government has not fully investigated its own role in perpetuating human rights abuses in Yemen, according to a congressional watchdog report that offered a damning assessment of both the Trump and Biden administration's commitment to tracking violations of humanitarian law. A report by the Government Accountability Office, which examined U.S. weapon sales to the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen, also raised serious doubts about one of Joe Biden's first foreign policies as president when he announced that his administration was ending U.S. support for Saudi offensive operations in Yemen. The report's examination of nearly $60 billion in U.S. weapon sales to the Saudi-led coalition from a period spanning 2015 to 2021 is the second time a watchdog has attempted to investigate the U.S.'s own culpability in contributing to violation of humanitarian laws in the Yemen conflict. In August 2020, a State Department inspector general found that the department was failing to take measures to reduce civilian deaths. The Global Times reads, China calls on UN to address human rights violations against indigenous women and girls in U.S., Canada, Australia. The Chinese representative called on the UN human rights mechanisms to continue to pay attention to such violations. The representative made the remarks during a speech at a dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women at the 50th session of the UN Human Rights Council. China is deeply concerned about the issues reported at the meeting by the Special Rapporteur, including the violence against politically active indigenous women in the U.S., obstacles for indigenous women and girls to seek justice in the U.S., and genocide crimes by Canada against indigenous people, the representative said. In these countries, indigenous women and girls face oppression and discrimination and are at serious risk of violence, according to the representative. Seeing as America and its high horse are pretty much in the spotlight these days, Tasnim News quotes Gharib Abadi saying, U.S. in no position to comment on human rights, Gharib Abadi being Secretary of Iran's High Council for Human Rights. The official made the remarks on the sidelines of the 4th International Conference on the American Human Rights from the perspective of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. This government, meaning the U.S. administration, should be held responsible to the oppressed peoples who have lost their lives as a result of terrorism, sanctions, aggression and occupation, Gharib Abadi added. He cited the example of the people of Yemen, where Saudi Arabia and its allies have been waging a U.S.-backed war, Press TV reported. The Yemenis were still being deprived of receiving the most basic humanitarian assistance due to the invaders and their supporters' imperialist disposition and great human rights violations, the official noted. The United States returned its sanctions against Iran in 2018, after leaving a historic accord between Iran and others. That'll be it for the news section today. Having referred to missiles and war before the break, by mid-October 2020, a long-standing conventional arms embargo imposed on Iran expired in line with the terms of the nuclear deal as part of Resolution 2231 of the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action.
That's the accord signed in 2015 between Iran and world powers to give this country sanctions relief in return for curbs on its nuclear program. However, after years of UN and then US sanctions, Iran had learned to be self-reliant for its defense. Iran is now producing from unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, to the Bavar 373 surface-to-air missile defense system, which it boasts is on a par with the state-of-the-art Russian S-400 system. In this instance, U.S. efforts to curb Iran's access to weapons, hence rendering it vulnerable, seem to have backfired. The U.S. seems incapable of changing its strategy for a different outcome. It keeps on battering at closed doors that might open with a code word instead: diplomacy and reliability in deals, rather than pressure and threats. Even once President Barack Obama, the Democrat who signed the JCPOA with Iran, tended to apply more pressure where he wanted to bring this country to the negotiating table. This was instead of giving goodwill a chance.
The Declaration of Human Rights, which is apparently very sacred and important for them, as well as the UN Charter, contain very beautiful slogans regarding human rights. They state that everybody has the right to live freely, to have independence, and to have freedom of speech. But if you take a look at history from before Iran's revolution to date, you'll find out that whenever a nation has tried to stage an independent action, they have confronted that nation.
President of Iran Ebrahim Raisi, in stressing sanctions must be neutralized, observed, "The Americans on the one hand send a message telling they're ready for an agreement, but on the other hand they add to the list of sanctions." Another contradiction of sorts is how the United States admits foreign students, then doesn't let them into the country.
Banning Iranian students from choosing their major is against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now that's one thing. But admitting them, then barring them from re-entering the country for no good or legal reason?
In mid-February 2015, UMass, the University of Massachusetts, raised concerns as it adopted a new policy outright barring Iranians from some science and engineering programs. Those were chemical engineering, chemistry, electrical and computer engineering, mechanical and industrial engineering, microbiology, physics, and polymer science and engineering. The university says that's because of a sanctions law passed in 2012 that restricted Iranian citizens seeking to prepare for a career in their country's energy or nuclear science sectors from getting visas to study in the United States.
For instance, some of the human rights issues that they're talking about too much is that everybody has the right to study whenever they like in any country, and that any country has the right to have relations with other countries. But in practice, they have blocked our political, economic, trade, cultural, and scientific relations with others. They have always tried to stop the Islamic Republic from flourishing. So this is contrary to what they claim and to their slogans.
Also, UMass said colleges and universities in the U.S. have found that Iranian students who travel abroad during their studies are being denied re-entry by the Department of Homeland Security. But critics say the 2012 statute tasks the State Department with rejecting student visa applications in certain cases. It doesn't specify anything about universities' admissions policies.
Obama adopted a relatively reconciliatory policy toward Iran compared to his predecessor, Bush. But he also employed economic sanctions, diplomatic pressure, covert sabotage, and threat of military intervention, all to bring Iran to the negotiating table.
Lack of timely access to medicine and medical care sometimes lead to disability. This is especially what happens in the case of a hemophilia patient. One day, or deny timely access to medicine, the joints are badly damaged, they will have internal bleeding, these will lead to disability. For example, if a hemophilia patient has a slight brain bleeding and they will not be treated, and then appropriate time, it may lead to a permanent disability and they might be restricted to bed for the rest of their life.
Sanctions and diplomatic pressure again appear to be Washington's preferred course of action with President Biden now in office. He was once number one to Obama. Let's not forget the U.S.-Israeli co-sponsored digital virus Stuxnet, which was unleashed on this country in 2009. The malicious program promulgated a virus onto this country's digital network to create an obstacle to its nuclear ambitions. Ambitions, Iran maintains, are peaceful and scientific.
George Orwell wrote a novel in 1948. In this novel, Orwell describes a communist government which is monitoring every aspect of life in its society like an eye. Now, where is George Orwell today to see that the United States, which claims to be a symbol of liberty, has not left any private space for its own citizen? If you review the news, you will see that all inboxes, all accounts, and all private spaces are monitored by the U.S. government.
The U.S.'s brand of state terrorism, Iran has called economic terrorism, which was followed by scientific terrorism. Banning the advancement of science in another country is depriving its nation of livelihood basics even, such as the manufacture of medicine and medical equipment.
The sanctions have challenged our people who had been exercising one of their basic rights, which is a right of development. They are entitled to the right of development and to improve their life, but one of the factors that have deprived them of these rights is definitely the unilateral U.S. sanctions on Iran. These sanctions have no legal basis and they are not recognized internationally. Everybody says that these sanctions have been imposed unilaterally by the United States, but the U.S. administration uses its political and financial influence to impose all its norms to the whole world, and this has affected the lives of ordinary Iranians.
Human rights is one of the three pillars of the United Nations, but the United States and Western allies try to lecture others while they have a deplorable record on human rights themselves. The United States carried out ethnic cleansing against Native Americans. By the beginning of the 20th century, the American Indian population had plummeted from 5 million in 1492 to 0.25 million.
All of us have witnessed that the Black Lives Matter is talking about the problems of African Americans. From 60 years ago, civil rights of African Americans were recognized thanks to the Martin Luther King movement. In practice, we see that racial rights are not exercised properly in the United States. A simple instance is that the number of African Americans dying due to the coronavirus is much more than white people who have lost their lives with this disease.
That'll be it for today. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
So, respected brothers and sisters, welcome back. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for joining us again. Again, we are here, inshallah, practicing the rules of Tanween and نون ساكين.
نور على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا مشرقا وهدى من الرحمن يهدينا به
So, the rule, the way we pronounce the iqlab is if a nun is sakin or tanween is followed by the letter ba, it is converted into a hidden meme. Hidden meme, okay? What's separating between lips? Little, tiny space, okay? Little space. And the rear should make ghunna sound. Ghunna means the nasal sound. Comes from the nose. Ba'di. Fa'anbatna. It's clear, right? Next ayah. Lanasfa'an bin nasiya. Lanasfa'an bin nasiya. How do you say this? Lanasfa'an tanwin bin nasiya. Letter ba. Lanasfa'an bin nasiya. How do you say this? Lanasfa'an bin nasiya. Lanasfa'an bin nasiya. Nasfa'an. Right? Yes. Say this ayah.
لَنَسْفَأَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
That's right. That's right. Ali Nasir. لَنَسْفَأَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
لَنَسْفَأَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
Make sure it should not be complete meme. لَنَسْفَأَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة. No, the lips must not go on the top of each other. Just there should be a tiny space, okay?
Yes.
Do it again. لَنَسْفَأَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
A sound between noon and meme. Not noon, not meme. Meme. Say it again.
لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة.
Try to produce the n sound from your nose, not from mouth. لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَة. Actually, we have إخفاء as well here.
Yes.
Look, you're hiding the noon sound and producing a half meme sound.
Yes.
إخفاء as well. إخفاء means to hide. لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. Okay, next example. يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ.
Yes.
يَوْمَئِذٍ تَنْوِين. بِجَهَنَّمْ. Starts with ba. How do you say?
يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ.
Okay.
يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ.
يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. So, Ali Nasir?
يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ.
Ahsan, this was a nice one. يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. Okay. So, Alhamdulillah, Iqlab is clear, right?
Yes.
So, in the Surah Al-Ghashiyah, let's go on. Let's see if we have any example for Izhar and an example for Iqlab. Inshallah, in the next session, we'll go through the Idgham, which is very important and one of the most important one. Then, inshallah, we'll go through the Ikhfa as well, okay? So, in Suratul Ghashiyah, if you are, we'll go and recite this surah, inshallah, and apply the rules, okay? So far, the rule Idhar and Iqlab that we have studied, okay? If we found any example for Idhar, we'll tell you, and for Iqlab as well, we'll tell you, okay? I think we do not have any example for Iqlab here, but for Izhar we have a lot of examples. Ready, inshallah?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
وجوه يومئذ خاشعة.
وجوه يومئذ خاشعة.
خاشعه. Okay, so in wujuhun tanween.
Yes.
Then after tanween,
idgham,
but we do not have idhar.
Yes,
idgham we have not studied, but you know, alhamdulillah, mashallah. So يَوْمَئِذٍ
خَاشِعَةٌ.
إِذٍ تنوين after تنوين
خَاشِعَةٌ.
Throat letter right?
Yes.
Which rule?
إِظْهَار.
إِذْ نُ إِظْهَار. إظهار. So, how do you say this?
وجوه يومئذ خاشعة.
وجوه يومئذ خاشعة.
عاملة ناصبة.
عاملة ناصبة.
أحسن. We have here تنوين, right? In this ayah. عاملة.
Yes.
Nasiba. But we do not have the throat letters or iqlab letter. Yes? We have no tanween, we have.
Nasiba.
Tanween we have, okay? Amilatun. That's tanween. Tanween is merged with noon. Amilatun nasiba. It's idgham. Inshallah, we'll talk about it.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Do we have any example?
Yes.
Tanween. Naran.
Naran.
Next letter?
Ha.
Ha. Finally, we found an example for the letter ha.
Throat letter.
Yeah, throat letter. So.
Yes.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Look, we do not merge the tanween to ha sound. We do not hide the tanween, okay? We do not change it to meme. Nothing.
No
just
rule.
Clearly, yeah, no rule.
Clearly
just clearly pronounce the letter, the tanween sound.
Yes.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Tasla naran hamiya.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
Any rule?
Yes.
What rule?
Izhar.
And which letters? Oh, we have two examples for Nun Sakin as well, for Tanyun as well.
Yes.
Nice ayah. So where is the Nun Sakin?
Min and Ayn.
Ayn. Comes the letter Ayn comes after Nun Sakin, right?
Yes.
Min, Ay. Then Nin, Aynin, Tanwin, then?
Hamza.
So in both of the Nun Sakin and Tanwin, we have? The rule idhar. We have the root letter after them. So we say we do not read this way.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
Or we do not merge them.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
No. Okay?
Yes.
We just clearly say the tanween or nun saki.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
Tusqa min aynin aniya.
Alhamdulillah, that's easy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Laysa lahum ta'amun illa min dari'.
Laysa lahum ta'amun illa min dari'.
Okay. Illa min dari'. Ta'amun illa min dari'. So we have tanween. Where?
Ta'amun.
What is the next letter?
Hamza.
Second step is to look at the next letter. So Hamza. Third step?
Apply
the rule. What rule?
Izhar.
Why? Because Hamza is from?
Throat letters.
So Izhar.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Yes.
Is Alif and Hamza the same?
Yeah.
So we consider Alif to its seven letters.
No. Alif, I said Alif does not have like Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. That's why. And also when Hamza, I told you, when Hamza comes after. When Hamza comes on the top or beneath Alif, it is Hamza.
If Alif has haraka, it means it's Hamza.
Yeah, if it has haraka, it is Hamza. In level 2, we studied Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qata'a. Okay? So, that was all about. Inshallah, if our brothers and sisters having any question on Hamza and Alif, refer to the audios of level 2, inshallah, okay? You can find the sessions of Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qata. So listen to them, inshallah. If you had any question, you can ask us. So,
ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع
ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع
Okay, طعام We have إظهار rule here من ضريع نون ساكن But do we have throat letter?
No.
So we do not pay attention to this لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع
لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع
So we do not have إظهار rule here. We have تنوين, we have نون ساكن, but not throat letters.
وجوه يومئذ ناعمة
وجوه يومئذ ناعمة
أحسن. We have تنوين, but
not
throat letters.
لسعيها راضية
لسعيها راضية
Okay, we have تنوين, but
Not throat letters.
Not throat letters. راضيةٌ, yes?
Yes.
But when we stop, it changes to سكون. Yes. So we don't have any تنوين.
في جنة عالية
في جنة عالية
أحسنتم, okay? جنة Natin Tanween.
Yes.
عالية starts with the عين. عين is a throat letter. The rule?
إظهار.
So what happens if a Tanween comes after Noon Sakin?
Tanween comes after Noon Sakin. So Noon Sakin will be merged to Tanween maybe. But I have not seen such a word, okay? Such a word. But if we have, because Noon Sakin is there, Tanween is as well the same as Noon, okay? Because we have two Sakin letters here. Look, Tanween means Noon Sakin then. Arabic is all about the sounds, a, e, u. If they do not have this a, e, u, okay, it's difficult for them to say. It's not possible, maybe, okay? But if we found such words, okay, we look, okay? If it's a noon, idgham is, of course, because noon is irmalun letters, we apply the rule of idgham, okay?
Yes.
So, alhamdulillah, in this ayah as well, fi jannatin aliyah, we had an idhar example. Inshallah, in the coming session, time is now up. Inshallah, the next session, we will go through the idgham rule, okay? And also Surah Al-Ghashiyah, because a lot of examples we have. We'll come back and start from the beginning of Surah Al-Ghashiyah, inshallah, okay? And apply the rule, idgham. Then we'll go to the next surahs or any other ayah. So, thank you so much for being with us. Stay with us, inshallah, for the next sessions. Because it's very important, idgham is there and ikhfa is there, okay? So, see you inshallah in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network, especially and most importantly to
students
of Sevier International Schools. And yes, that's it for this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
www.parstoday.com/en
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.